Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, July 9th, 2018. When a man loves a woman, he'll do some dumb shit like get her a ring. Then all of a sudden he's married, he's like, what did I do? Then he will say, are you mad at me? She'll just shake her head and say no. And then she'll treat you like shit for the next 5 days. What's going on? It never ends, people. Never ends. How are you? What's going on? I'm out here in a heat wave. I'm still getting over this fucking Ebola that I caught. I don't know what I have. It's just lingering. I'm all congested, you know?
Dude, take a towel, put it over your head, and then sit behind your car and have somebody start it up, all right? Now make sure you have a lemon in your mouth.
You know, that's what my fucking day has been like for the last 8 days. Everybody has the... It's fucking hilarious. All these people who aren't pharmacists, right? All of these people who've never invented anything in their life, and I mean even just some dumb shit, like you take some wire and you fucking twist it and then you bend it, and it's like, look, for 1995, it's your very own back itcher, right? Back massager. Yeah, they've all been telling me how to fucking cure this shit, and it's just like, okay, all right, I'll try that. Oh, what'd you say? Zinc. The man over there in the plaid shirt says zinc. What say you? Vitamin D. You say vitamin D.
Vitamin C.
You know, I feel like I'm on a game show, right? When you're on The Price is Right and everybody's yelling out a price like a different number and the person's looking with their deer in the headlights. That's what it's like when you have a fucking cold. By the way, me and my wife, who isn't mad at me, who isn't not talking to me, but isn't actually really chatty either. You know, do you know how you get them out of that mood? You can't say it out loud. You can't say, I don't even give a shit anymore at this point. I've gone through enough hours of torture here. What you do is you just think, you know what? I don't give a fuck. And they are so smart. They sense the second you do that, and then immediately they want to sit down and talk about it. Because once you don't give a fuck, the game's over. Okay? And they don't want you to settle into not giving a fuck, because then you won't be able to listen to their lecture and nod and go, okay, yes, I will work on that. Okay, you know what? I didn't know that. Oh, do I do that? Is that what I do? Wow, it's so great to have somebody outside myself to let me know what it is that I'm doing. You know what? You're like a moon, like just going around my fucking, the planet of my head, observing. Not a moon, honey. Maybe be like an alien aircraft, you know, of higher intelligence. Does that make you feel better? Anyways, it was ungodly fucking hot. Ungodly fuck. It was the hottest it's ever been. It was like Palm Desert out here. It was 109 fucking degrees on Friday. And I'm not even talking about in the valley. Maybe that was the valley. I don't know what it was, but it was like I felt like I was standing inside a dryer. And I've used that reference a lot, but this time it was just like, oh yeah, I could dry my clothes in this. You know? By the way, those idiots who are like, man, you could fucking fry an egg on the sidewalk. You could probably do that when it's like 80 degrees out. You know what I mean? It'd be like frying it on low. I don't know what it would be like. I mean, you know, but like on Friday when it was 109 degrees out, at around 2 in the afternoon, like, your shit would be over medium before you even flipped it. And you wouldn't have to season it because of all the rock salt, right? For those of you back east. And so the inevitable happens is there's then, after human beings in their own way have made it, I don't know how many degrees hotter, but we have made it hotter. I think even scientists that wear red coats or red ties, even they have been like, you know, we're kind of having an effect on the environment. I mean, if gypsy moth caterpillars have to be stopped, you know, I mean, what about human beings? I mean, say what you want about gypsy moth caterpillars, you know, they don't make, you know, nuclear waste. They've never, you know, invested in plastics. You know, they're pretty green for what it is that they do, right? And they are part of nature. So they probably really don't need to be stopped by an outside force like us. We're stopping them for our own fucking survival. And the problem is Mother Nature up until this point has been bringing a knife to a gunfight with like fucking gypsy moth caterpillars and some bullshit like that. And I think now she's realizing that she needs to go down to the local fucking, what do you call the place? You go down to the place where there's always like a bad keyboard in the fucking window, pawn shop. You go down to the pawn shop, she's going to get herself a fucking a heater, a boner. Boner? A burner. Whatever the fuck you call them. I don't fucking... A boner. She's going to come out with a fucking dick, man. She's gonna do a reverse Bruce. She's going to fuck all of us in the ass with the weather. I think that's what I was trying to say. I have no idea. But all I know was, you know, it was fucking insane. So the inevitable happens is then there's a power surge. There was like nobody on the roads. Like that's how fucking hot it was. Everybody was just staying inside, sitting in air conditioning. Like, oh my God, and not fucking going out there. And then we all, after making it hotter, you know, I'm not saying it wouldn't be 104 degrees or whatever. I don't even know if we made it 5 degrees hot, but whatever. But we sit inside and we don't get to feel, we don't feel the effects of what the fuck we're doing. It's like buying a shirt, you know what I mean? You don't see the fucking 8-year-old that sewed it together. You're like, oh, does this shirt make me look good? Right? It's like, it's painless. So now we're all sitting there in the AC, and inevitably, we don't have enough power, so now they have to have a blackout. Now, where are they going to do it? Okay? Now, I already gave it away. Okay? The key word here is blackout. Black would be the key word. You know, I don't even know where they did it, but I know they didn't fucking go, well, we have to shut down the grid somewhere. Where should we shut it down? Should we shut it down in Beverly Hills or fucking Bel Air or these people with their fucking infinity pools that fall off into the goddamn ocean with their panoramic views? You can literally see the roundness of the planet. You know? These people with their MTV Cribs stocked fucking refrigerators? Their giant cabin footprint? No, those people fund our campaigns. Let's fucking go down here to these people who can barely rub two fucking nickels together and we'll shut down their shit. It's just an evil fucking world, man. And oddly enough, this weekend, as I sat in my air-conditioned house, you know, not in Beverly Hills, but not in the hood either. You know what I mean? Like if I was on a chessboard, I wouldn't be a pawn, but I wouldn't be in the castle either. You know, I don't think I'd be the horse. I wouldn't be a bishop. I think I'd be a rook, you know, basic, forward, sideways, you know, white guy, no lateral fucking movement. If I went diagonal, I'd fucking trip over myself or try to run a fucking in or an outright route like a fucking horse. I just don't think I'd make it, you know. Of course, the fucking broad can do whatever she wants, right? Got all the goddamn power. What the fuck can the king do? Just sitting there backing up. Whoa, hey, guys, surround me. She's pissed. Well, she said she's not pissed, but she's not talking to me. She is, but you know what I mean? It's really quick and serviceable conversation. Would you like some dinner? Okay, it's ready. Salmon. Nice talking to you. Nothing. Anyways, they should have like, this is such a hacky idea, but they should literally, I wish they had right now, if they had like a fucking, like a relationship. Somebody must have done a bit like this. Like you have like a relationship meteorologist. You know what I mean? That could give you a 5-day fucking forecast. Let you know what kind of coat to wear. Basically what kind of shit am I going to try to avoid so I don't step into it? You know what I mean? So anyways, I'm in the fucking house, right? And, you know, I got the kid now and she's getting bigger and eventually she's going to need her own room. All right. And I have all, and I don't even have a lot of shit, but I have a lot of shit. I didn't think I had a lot of shit. I don't have a lot of furniture, but I have a lot of shit. You know, just over the years, going on the road, buying a little thing here, buying a little thing there, fan giving you something, the venue giving you something, and all of a sudden, you just got a bunch of shit. And then what happens is if enough time goes by, I'm sentimental. I start to develop feelings for it, and it's hard to get rid of it. Well, I don't have a choice now, people. So in the near future, I am going to have a massive, massive fucking giveaway of memorabilia and shit and old drum stuff. And like, you know, I tried to give some people my old drum magazines and just nobody wanted them. All these fucking young kids are like, you know, I just look it on the phone, bruh. You know, I just go to fucking, I can read this on my phone. Like I'm, I don't even know what, like I, you'd think I was handing them like a hammer and a chisel and a rock and be like, you want to draw pictures with this? So I didn't feel too bad because they're made out of paper, although I'm sure the ink is bad for the environment, but I put like 20 years of all of these fucking magazines that I saved, like I was going to go back and peruse through two decades of fucking drum magazines. And I kept some of them, you know, the John Theodores, the fucking Nico McBrain, the fucking Steve Jordan, you know, all the way back, all the drummers that I fucking love, right? Tommy Lee, you know. But then, you know, the latest ones were the easiest ones to get rid of because I'm an old man and I probably didn't know a lot of those players, although I probably should. But, you know, I don't know. I just wish I could go back in time and not buy anything. You know, Jimmy the Gent, what the fuck did I say? Don't buy anything. You know, as much as he was a murderous psychopath, he was very environmentally conscious in that part of Goodfellas, you know? So anyways, just giving you guys a heads up. I got it all out in front of me here. I got it all laid out. And my wife, who's not mad at me, you know, she was like, well, why don't you get like a storage shed? You know, you like this stuff. And it's like, I'm not fucking doing that. I'm not doing that. Like, whenever I see those places, I get like, I have a fucking, almost a physical reaction to them when I see a storage facility. And it's just like, I did that before. I'm not fucking doing that. Then you have to go back and like check in on your stuff. It's like your stuff went to jail. And then, you know, you can just fucking, hang on a second. I got to fucking text this guy back. There's no way for me to continue talking. Call you in a 45 minute. anyways, this just, then you get, you're doing the George Carlin bit. You just have shit just spread out all over the fucking world. And it's just like, if there's not like, fuck, shut up. All right. If there's not room enough for it in your house, like we have more rooms that could be bedrooms than people here. Okay. It's just me, my wife and my daughter. So there's no fucking reason why there should be no room other than the fact that we just have too much shit and I'm not throwing it out. I threw out the magazines because they're made out of paper and I know everybody's going to give me shit about the ink, but I'm really trying to fucking think about where this stuff is going to end up. Okay. And, I don't know. So I'm going to try to like, you know, I figure if I could just get some of this shit, if you guys want it, you know, I'll just fucking give the stuff away or whatever. I hope some people aren't going to get mad because some of the stuff is like shit that venues have given me, you know, some sports jerseys with my name on the back of them and stuff, which is fucking cool or whatever. But like, you know, I'm not going to, I never wore it. And I always appreciated the gesture, but I just took it and I put it in a box. And then I just started piling these fucking things up. And I don't have any more fucking room. I don't know what to do with them. So my new fucking thing from here on out, 50 fucking years old, is Jimmy the Gent. I'm not fucking buying anything. I'm not buying anything, you know. And I'm trying to get my wife on the same fucking page, but you know, that's not working. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. Telling her not to go on Amazon is like her telling me not to get shit-faced on a Tuesday. I mean, it's just not happening. By the way, speaking of drinking, I haven't drank. You wouldn't know it from my voice. I sound like shit, but I haven't drank since the end of June. And that's all. It's so fucked up. It's so fucked up. It's just like food. I have the same relationship with food that I have with booze. That all I do is I just fucking walk away for a few days. Like, what the fuck am I doing? And when I see food walking away, it's like sugar and shit and bad food. And I start eating well. And then all of a sudden, if I look at bad food, it's like, I don't want to fucking eat that. I don't want to feel that way. And the same thing with booze. Like, you know, when I'm drinking and I see a bottle of booze, I swear to God, it's like, you know, it's backlit at the bar. I mean, it just looks like you're drinking life. It just looks golden, you know, so inviting. And then when I just stopped drinking, I just looked at it. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I don't want to fucking, I don't want to mess with that shit. Oh, God, what the fuck did I do now? Now what I got to apologize for? I know I'm wrong. That's the worst thing about it. You know what I mean? Jesus, does it ever fucking end? You know what I mean? This is like when I was a kid. My mother was mad at me and she wouldn't tell me. And I got to fucking figure out what I did. I love on all these fucking TV shows where they sit there and they always sit there and they talk about how women say twice as many fucking words in a day and how they're great at communicating. It's like, no, they're not. They're not. They're not good at communicating. They speak in fucking riddles. Can you tell she's home? I keep whispering. So they speak in fucking riddles. I was talking to a buddy of mine today, younger, right? I was sitting there telling him, going like, dude, what you got to understand about a woman is by the time they're 8, they got the whole fucking thing planned out. Not all of them, but enough of them. And you're still sitting there playing in a fucking mud puddle or jumping off a jungle gym going, hey, mom, look what the fuck I can do. Whatever kids do nowadays, you know, fucking dancing with your fucking toy robot, whatever you guys do. They got it all planned out. That's why, how many times, guys, have you been out on a date with a woman and she said some shit to you that sounded like a riddle and you're like, what the fuck? And then you answer the question and then she goes like, no, you're supposed to say blah, 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 blah. Like, and so I didn't know there was a script. Nobody sent me the sides for my part. Like, they have the whole fucking thing mapped out. And you have three options. You either just accept it or die alone or you go out and buy a wife beater and you become that guy. But you don't want to do that. Is he blaming women for domestic violence? Shut up. Oh, God. I'm just fucking around. You know, I was on Twitter, right? And somebody wrote some fucking hilarious smartass thing about me. So I clicked on their profile because I was just like, you know what? That is above average shit talk. Is this another comic? Is this an up-and-coming comic? I don't know. That was like almost a comedian level funny. So I went to this person's thread and I, you know, read their little blurb, couldn't figure out what they did. So I scrolled down to try to figure out, are they a comedian? Look for a stand-up picture. And one of the things this person had retweeted was from this something-something feminist. It was talking about Donald Trump. And was saying, like, Donald Trump just made fun of the victims of Me Too. And the crowd roared with approval, period. And then, again, she wrote, roared with approval, right? And then she had the link. I'm like, oh, my God. Are you kidding me? This is what he did today? This guy's fucking crazy. So I click on it, and he made a roundabout reference to Me Too. You know, he was using Me Too the way some people use millennials, which is not right. I'm not saying it's right to do that. But, you know, I'm not trying to be a cunt here, but I am a comedian, and I've been on stage for 26 years. They did not roar with approval, okay? He got a chuckle. He got a polite chuckle. I'm not saying they weren't meatheads there. I'm not saying what he said was fucking right. But the crowd did not roar with approval, period. Roared with approval. And it, just as a comedian, that fucking annoyed me. Because I remember back in the day, you'd see these fucking comics get off stage. Oh, dude, I crushed. I fucking crushed. And see, you got the job done. That's not killing, you cunt. Stop walking around saying you killed. It didn't. Donald Trump didn't kill. Okay? If that was his fucking audition set for a club and those were the laughs he was getting, they would say, you know what? He's not ready yet. We're not saying he's not funny. He was getting some laughs, but he was all right. But I don't think he's ready for a weekend spot yet. Like, he was getting, like, Monday, Tuesday level laughs. Like, back, you know, when there was some sort of fucking system in the clubs when they would actually build talent. They used to have, you know, Monday was like an open mic night at Nick's. And then the big deal was your next move. At Nick's Comedy Stop in Boston, the next move was the host, Billy Martin, who's now like, you know, one of the made men over there at Bill Maher's show. He then had a show Wednesday night at the Kowloon. And that was the first big fucking move out of the open mics. I got a spot at the Kowloon. And you'd say that to the other open micers, and it burned through the crowd of open micers. Dude, Burr got a spot at the Kowloon. And then I remember thinking, like, the first time I did a spot at the Kowloon, I was so fucking nervous because this was the first time I went on in front of a crowd that was not expecting to see an open micer. They did not go to an open mic show going, all right, let's see what these fucking people have, or I'm here to see a friend of mine. Like, they came out to see a comedy show. And they were like, all right, we're going to hand you the keys for 5 minutes. Let's see what the fuck you do, right? So I would say that that's where Trump was in that speech. He was doing 5 minutes at the Kowloon, all right? This has nothing to do about what the fuck he said or whatever. But I did find it interesting, though, but that's how she heard it. She heard them roaring with laughter. Yeah. Like, and when you listen to Trump going fake news, like, it isn't necessarily, well, sometimes it's fake, but it's more just people hear shit and then whatever they're passionate with, it raises the fucking levels, you know? Like, you know, with me, this, you know, you guys at this point, if you listen long enough, you know the shit that sets me off, all right? And like, the amount of fucking times I lose my shit and I think it's going a certain way. And then I find out not only am I not right, I am 100%. It's a complete 180. It's going the other direction. Now, I'm not saying that this woman should have not have been upset, you know, and also been upset that people chuckled, you know, but they did not roar with laughter. I'm just being a cunty comedian right now, you know. There's just certain things that people say that goes into the terminology of a comedian, and it bugs me. Like the thing that I talked about a year ago or 2 years ago was this fucking phenomenon where all of a sudden people started saying I love when the comedian heckled the crowd. It's like no, the comedian doesn't heckle the crowd. The comedian gets heckled. A heckler goes to a performance and tries to disrupt a performance, a speech, anything. That is a heckler, all right? For a comedian to be heckling a crowd, the crowd had to be collectively giving some sort of fucking performance that he's interrupting, all right? You could say the comedian snapped. I love when you fucking just lost your shit on that guy, but I'm not heckling the crowd. Like, oh, look at how you sit in your seats. You call that a show? Sorry. Whatever. So, anyways, how many fucking minutes? That's 24 minutes. God damn. That ain't bad. That ain't bad at all. Hey, let's talk about World Cup soccer. Huh? What's you know, I usually when I talk about NFL football, I go, ba, 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 boo, doo, boo, doo. I know the theme song. I don't know what the World Cup thing is, you know, but I've watched enough of it that I know in the end they're going to go to the wrap up with the fashionable lady. Then there's the old, like, guy looks, he's like, you know, fell off a stool at a pub. He's probably some old fucking football player, you know. And then there's the excitable, like, sort of fat guy who looks like, with the mustache, you know. Am I allowed to say Latino as a white guy? I mean, he is a Latino dude. He looks like the guy, one of the first guys that gets killed in a fucking mob movie. And then the other ones, it seemed like they just had a revolving chair. Like, I recognize this black dude with dreads as being like, wasn't he on our fucking team? The USA team? Oh, by the way, I finally figured out how to fucking tell who the fuck is who in a World Cup game if you didn't get there at the beginning. This is how it works in American TV on Fox Sports. They basically, right next to the team name, they'll have the smallest little sliver of color. And that's the color of the uniform. Like, I watched Russia versus Croatia. And I'm just sitting there literally waiting for somebody to fucking score so I can figure out who the fuck is who. I'm sitting there, of course, you know, for fucking, I don't know, 2-3 hours. I'm kidding, man. It was a fucking unbelievable game. But I finally figured out. No, somebody explained it to me on Twitter. I just started tweeting about it. Going, you know, I don't know who the fuck is who here. You know? And I had this weird thing, like, I didn't know who to root for. Because there was something so fucking funny to me if the Russians won the World Cup. And it would have been so awesome listening to people losing their shit over here and getting all wound up again saying that they, you know, tampered with the election over here, you know, and then everybody just starts yelling at each other again. It's just, I was looking forward to that, you know, just adding to the fucking heat out here. But anyways, it was an incredible game, and I cannot fucking believe, I rooted for Croatia, you know, although every time they cut to the Russians in the crowd, I was just like, you know, those are some good looking people. You know, there's really no middle ground with Russians, so, you know what I mean? Or Eastern Europeans. They're either like, look like fucking supermodels, or they look like it's still like medieval times. You know what I mean? I mean, they got some women over there that look like they could easily fucking impress some NFL scouts. You know, in the NFL combine when they're pushing up 225, how many reps they can do. I'm not, you know, of course they wouldn't get drafted after the 40, but I'm just saying they, you know. But then they got some other ones. It's like, oh my God, gorgeous. I'm fucking with you. I'm not saying that, you know, there's not a lot of weirdo looking Americans. But that was one of the really cool things, looking at that, thinking of all the fucking bullshit that goes on at a political level, you know, with the missiles and all of that shit. And then just to watch all these Russians losing their fucking minds every time Russia would score a goal. So long story short, not to take any away, the Croatian crowd, same thing. Fucking really good looking people, man. Did I mention that I'm going to be doing an Eastern European tour at the beginning of next year? You know? And I will be bringing all of your fucking good-looking numbers down a half a degree during the time I'm in your fucking country. Please come up to me in your native tongue and tell me that you can fix my balding problem. I say balding, I'm bald. And that you can, I can fix that. I am the greatest in Transylvania. That's why I approach people in the street with my fucking business card. So anyways, I'm watching this fucking game, and like, I'm doing the typical American thing, like, I can't believe people are into this, like, at this level. What the fuck? I mean, everybody's singing songs, duh. You know, doing that shit. And all of a sudden, Croatia scores a goal, and I couldn't control myself. I was just like, yeah, I fucking lost my shit, right? And then Russia comes back immediately, I believe. I watched so many games, I forget. They fucking scored. And fucking the Russian fans are going nuts. And I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers, you know. And I'm, you know me, I'm always conspiracy theory. Vladimir Putin, you know, he's got the invisible hand, you know. And then Croatia scores. and it's fucking 2-1. There's like barely any time left. And I almost made my daughter jump out of the chair in the other room. I yelled so loud when they scored. And I was like, holy fuck, this is going to be unbelievable. That fucking guy, number 10 is a beast on Croatia, right? And there's like no time left. And all of a sudden, Russia gets like a fucking corner kick. And I was just sitting there. I had my hands over my mouth just going like, oh no, oh no. Oh no, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then he fucking kicks it. This beautiful, whatever the fuck you call it. You know, it was like a pass into the slot, you know, in hockey. Like a saucer pass, just right over everybody's fucking head. And it just goes right to this one Russian dude who just makes it, glances it off his head into the back of the net. And I just go, fuck! Like, and every time I yelled, I surprised myself. I go, I can't believe how fucking into this game I am. So my wife and my daughter are getting ready to leave. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we can't leave. I have to see the end of this game. She's like, are you serious? Like, is this yet another thing that you're fucking into? And I'm like, yeah. I go, it's the shootout, whatever the penalty, whatever the fuck they call it. And I sat there like, literally, like, I was like that Tarkanian guy, like chewing on a fucking towel. I was in the kitchen, you know, because I had to keep, you know, leaving the fucking room. And I had like the fucking towel you dry dishes with. So my wife is going, you're going to throw that in the hamper. I'm like, all right, I'm fucking gnawing on the thing. And just the level of fucking pressure. And if you miss one of those penalty kicks and your team only loses by one, like, you just get shit for the rest of your life. You know, I mean, there was that guy in Colombia. I don't know if he got killed because of that, but I mean, it was pretty fucking suspicious. But it was an incredible game. And like, it's safe to say that I 100% get it. And I actually love the game now. There, I said it. I love soccer. It's a fucking great game. I finally get it. I fucking get it, you know? And then how great the World Cup is, where it truly is a world championship. And then what's great is if you lose, okay, that other team can talk shit to you for the next 3 fucking years. And because it's once every 4 years, but you're not even guaranteed that you're going to get in. So when you get to that fucking close, when you lose, now I get it. Now I get why I'm sitting there watching grown men crying who are in their 50s and 60s, because they're sitting there going like, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. I'm going to die without ever seeing him holding up an astoundingly small trophy for a true world championship. Do you see how big the fucking Stanley Cup is? That's 30 teams, 31, whatever the fuck they're up to. It's not the whole world. You got the whole world. Why the fuck is the trophy so small? It's so funny when they win it and they all try to run around with it and they're all like, you know, trying to hold it up. They're like bumping heads and shit. Like they can't, they should make it bigger. You know what? That's classic fucking, that's how an American thinks. That's how we think. You know, bigger is better. It is. And you know something? As much as you guys sit there and you shit on us, in the back of your heads, you're jealous of it. Yeah, you're jealous how fat we get. You're jealous how big they make the jeans over here. And you're jealous that you could actually be that fat and still get down the fucking street. Because you guys are over there driving around in your fucking cow paths. You know? Past all your ruins and your fucking castles and all that shit. Why am I in such a mood right now? All right, I got to turn the light on. The fucking sun went down as I'm talking here. Hang on a second.
Hang on. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's going to be one of the first songs you teach your kid, right? It's got to be. It's religious. It's easy. All right. Let's look at some of the advertising here for this week, shall we?
So congratulations to Croatia. I mean, oh, Jesus. And then there were 4. England versus Croatia tomorrow. France versus Belgium. I'm sorry, on Tuesday. Well, I guess that will be tomorrow by the time you hear this. France versus Belgium on Wednesday. I'm working both days, so I'm at the tape the games. And hopefully somebody on the fucking set will say something.
Ah, God damn it. Ah, what are you going to do? The fuck are you going to do? Anyways, let's read some of the fucking advertising here. Isn't it so weird that I hate reading out loud so much that I get upset when I have a lot of advertising? It's actually money. I know, but I have to read. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, smell, and smell your best. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to get ready in the bathroom and delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. Did they just write that twice? Am I fucking having a stroke right now? You name it. Remember that lady? I got beans, greens, pink. You name it. They should have her read this shit. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash. Toothpaste, hair gel, even a wipe that'll leave your tush feeling tingly clean. You know, out of all the complimentary gifts, I would have loved to have gotten that one. All of Dollar Shave Club's products are made with top shelf ingredients that won't break your budget. You feel the difference. Plus, shipping is included with all your membership. And here's a great way to try a bunch. See, that's how I do it. I combine try and bunch. And somehow I got touch. I just saw the CH. Of Dollar Shave Club's products. Slow down, Bill. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essentials Starter Set. Daily Essentials Starter Set. Sam, why do you smell so scintillating? Because of my Daily Essentials Starter Set. It comes with Body Cleanser. One wipe. Chari. They're amazing butt wipes. That's so funny, butt is such like a not attractive word. It's so like blunt, but you can't say amazing ass wipes because people get called, you fucking ass wipe. I'm an amazing ass wipe, you know, rectum wipes, you know, daddy. Yeah. Their world famous shave butter. That's why the French are this shit. I mean, come on, man. That's an ass. Daddy. Yeah. And their best razor, the six-blade executive. Do you realize if England and France play each other in the World Cup final, we'll probably start another fucking war over there in Europe? You know, someone will bring up Napoleon or some King George shit, whatever the fuck those people. That's always what the powdered wakes with them. And add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. All right, that's one. Framebridge, everybody. I got four reads here in honor of the four people left in the World Cup. All right, that first one went out to France. All right, this one goes out to fucking who they're playing, Belgium. Framebridge, if you've been listening to this show, you've heard me talk about Framebridge. They make it super easy and affordable to frame your favorite things, from art prints and posters to the travel photos sitting on your phone. Here's how it works. Just go to framebridge.com and upload your photo. Or they'll send you a package to safely mail in your physical pieces. Gross. For the fucking serial killers. Preview your item online in any frame style. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. That's for me. Like, I can't pick it out. The black frame. The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. I just fucking have an unbelievable amount of empathy for someone who's going to sit there on the phone when some dope like me goes, I want this picture framed, but I don't know what color. Well, let's take a look at it. Well, your pants are white. The shit stain is brown. I don't know. I'm thinking orange. Instead of the hundreds you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, my listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use my code BURR. Recommended editorializing. Give your personal experience using Framebridge. I'm doing it right now. I haven't got it back yet. All right? But I got this very romantic, beautiful picture of me and my wife in front of our favorite cafe in Paris. All right, and then we have other ones with our little fucking Boo Bear in front of the Eiffel Tower and the fucking Arc de Triomphe. You know, my parents came to London. I got some pictures of them when near the Tower Bridge. I'm getting all of that stuff done. I can't wait to see what they do. All right, Okay, who's kidding who? I just outed myself because you were like, well, then, Bill, well, why? I thought you said you didn't pick out the frames. Didn't you talk to somebody over there? No, I had Andrew do all of this. All right, but I can comment on the finished product. Call to action, must read. Get started today. Frame your photos or send the perfect gift for weddings, birthdays, and special events. Go to framebridge.com and use the promo code BRRRR. You'll save an additional 50% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code BRRRR, framebridge.com, promo code BRRRR. All right, this next one's for Croatia. When I say Crow, you say Asia. ExpressVPN. With all the recent news about data hacks and breaches, it's hard not to worry about digital privacy. What happened recently? Was there a big one? I didn't hear about it. Then again, you know, I watch MeTV, my new show, 777 Sunset Strip. No matter what you do online, your mobile is that volcano still erupting? Your mobile carrier and internet service provider track it all.
Dude, that's why it's so hot out here.
Every website you visit, every email you send, it's ridiculous. So take back your privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the world's leading greatest VPN provider that lets you securely use your internet without being tracked by anyone, not even the North Koreans. ExpressVPN keeps online activity private and anonymous while you browse, email, download, or stream. ExpressVPN is great for streaming content. You can even use it to watch the World Cup without a cable subscription. How cool is that? Their easy-to-use app encrypts all internet data and hides the IP address, protecting the entire connection. ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month and runs seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, or tablet. Every time you use the internet without ExpressVPN, you're putting sensitive data at risk. Call to action. Take back your internet privacy today and find out how you can get 3 free months. Go to expressvpn.com/burr. That's E-X-P-R-E-S-S, expressvpn.com. Oh, I suppose, okay. expressvpn.com/burr for 3 months with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/burr to learn more. And lastly, but not leastly, for England, stamps.com. Create your own stamps.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you're done. It's convenient. It's easy. It's reliable. It's efficient. It's like that wonderful fucking easy chick up the street. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the United States Postal Service right to your fingertips. Tips, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer or printer. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale, automatically calculates extra postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter, and there are no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com whenever I send out my posters, which I am sending out on this tour. I am a moron. If I can figure out how to do it, so can you. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BRRRR. That's Stamps.com. Enter BRRRR. All righty then. All right, hang on a second. All right, let's get on. Well, we can't get on to the letters. I have to talk about the F1 race that was in Great Britain. Back to back, I'd have to say these are the two most exciting races I've seen since I've been watching, which has been Monaco 2016. I've seen almost every race since then. What a fucking race. Lewis Hamilton was he got the pole position for like the 8th fucking time in a row there. I think he's won like the last 6 or 7. He always dominates there. He had a rough showing, didn't even finish, and it did not finish his last one, wherever the fuck they were, I didn't remember, in Austria. And you knew Mercedes was going to come back strong. So the race starts, all right? I believe Lewis Hamilton was in first. Vettel was in second. Kimi Raikkonen was somewhere in there, and all they go into the first fucking turn. Lewis Hamilton, something you hardly ever see, has a bad start. Vettel blows by him. Hamilton gets his fucking car going. I don't understand. Did he pop the clutch? I don't get how they have a bad start. I don't understand that Atari fucking steering wheel that they're doing there. I know. I don't get it. There is no clutch anymore. I don't even know what they've got a little paddle thing there. I have no fucking idea. But sometimes they don't hit the right button and they're just going too slow. I don't know. But they blame the driver, right? So anyway, so they get into the first fucking turn and all of a sudden, Valtteri Bottas comes screaming in out of nowhere. Vettel's in first place. Lewis Hamilton's all of a sudden in third. I was like, no fucking way. And then out of nowhere, you just see all this smoke and shit, and the announcers are going nuts, and Lewis Hamilton got hit by Kimi Räikkönen, and he fucking spun out, and he went from, in like one turn or two turns, from being first in the race to being last. And it was just like, what the fuck? And then I believe at that point it was Vettel, Bottas, and then Kimi Räikkönen. Or maybe Max Verstappen went up there. But, you know, the Red Bull team was right there. And by the way, the United States, the fucking Haas team, we've qualified fifth and sixth. We were killing it until we fucking slammed into each other like assholes and took ourselves out of the points. We maybe got 1 point. I don't even think we came in 10th, man. It's fucking sucked. But we're doing better, man. We are doing better. And that's the team that I really want to win. Anybody has to do with American racing, but we're having a great season. If we could just quit fucking up and, but whatever, plowing ahead. So, Lewis Hamilton is not out of the race. He gets his car going again. And which is one of my favorite things when a great driver like him, a Sebastian Vettel, gets knocked all the way to the back of the race, then you get to watch him go through the field. And he was driving, going, my car's messed up. It's messed up the rear end. They go, no, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And he just tears through the whole field, basically up until the top five. And then, but even when he got up top five, he was still like 25 seconds behind. That's how superior, basically, Red Bull, well, really Mercedes, Ferrari is, and then Red Bull. And so Mercedes adopted this, we're just going to stop once. Like, I don't know, if you're not into this shit, it's actually like fascinating. Like pitting and all of that stuff is, you can win and lose it. And long story fucking short is by the end of the race, for like the final five laps, because Mercedes only pitted one time and Ferrari's pitted at least twice. Because I think one time they went in, like, I never understand how it works with like the safety car out there or whatever the fuck they call it, pace car or some shit, right? But anyways, all of a sudden with five laps left, it's Valtteri Bottas is in first place. Sebastian Vettel's right behind him with fresher tires. What's his face? Lewis Hamilton driving like a maniac once again with not as fresh tires because they only stopped once. So they're all fucking chewed up. And then right on his ass is that fucking psycho Kimi Räikkönen, who I fucking love. Drives like a maniac. Got a 10-second penalty, by the way, because they said he smashed into Lewis Hamilton. He didn't need to do that. And he was yelling at his fucking pit crew and all that shit. It was fucking great. So they're all driving like absolute fucking maniacs. And once again, I'm screaming at the TV. Yeah, once again, in a sport I never thought I would be into. And unfortunately for Vettel, like his tires just crapped out and he didn't have enough grip. And, Valtteri Bottas, I'm sorry. His tires just crapped out and Vettel was able to duck underneath him. And then he gave way to Lewis Hamilton, which I thought was really cool. And then Hamilton was trying to stay on his ass and they just didn't have the fucking tires. And, what's his face? Bottas ended up, I think he went all the way down to like fifth or sixth. But the final was Sebastian Vettel for Ferrari, Lewis Hamilton for Mercedes, and then Kimi Räikkönen on the podium there. So it was two Ferraris and a Mercedes. Sebastian Vettel is now 8 points up, and the Ferrari team, I think, is like 20 points up for the year. And they got two more races before the summer break. They couldn't be any closer. It's going to be fucking great. Fuck. Anyways, Jesus Christ. By the way, I just hit pause. That coughing fit went on for like another 9 fucking seconds. Let's read some advertising here. So anyways, the next one I believe is, I think it's in Germany. Or is it the Hungarian? I don't know. Those are the next two. But I got to think of MotoGP's coming up. I hope I didn't fucking, my stupid recorder isn't recording those things, because sometimes it gets bumped down in priority. I don't know how the fuck that works. All right. Okay, in regard to Eastern European Tour, dear Bill, you mentioned planning East European Tour. I just wanted to mention to think about visiting one of former Yugoslavian countries in the Balkans if this plan moves forward. I emailed you from Belgrade, Serbia, but anything here like Croatia, Bosnia, or even Slovenia can work for local fans. Check out some stats where you have the most site visits or something, as it would be interesting to see you live somewhere near. Stand-up is still relatively rising here, but I am sure it might be interesting for you to visit if you are around here. Dude, I will go there and fucking eat my balls in a second. When am I ever going to go there? I'll be close enough that you can jump on a train, right? Your papers, please. However the fuck it works over there, you know? Eastern Europe scares me, man. You're still behind the communist bloc, like, for most of my life. So, then I know, you know, once Russia went out of there, you guys kind of picked up some Hatfield and McCoy shit that you hadn't finished, you know? Got a little crazy there with the fucking genocide and stuff, you know? Got a little nuts over there. So, you know, you guys don't fuck around over there is what I'm trying to say. It's not like you're going to Canada. Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, it's not one of those things. I feel like I'm going to go over there and it's going to have like that same vibe like Belfast had, where it was just like, even if you didn't know some shit went down, the second you go there, you're just like, whoa, some fucking shit went down here. And you just immediately act accordingly. Like, I will not be fucking with anybody here. All the best for you and your family. I'm very, very excited to see that part of the world. And we are putting it together. I would not bring it up if we weren't putting it together. All right. Okay. Possible Eastern European tour. Another one. Hey, Chief, I was just listening to your latest podcast, July 2nd, where you mentioned putting together an Eastern European tour. Look at this. Look at all the fans. This is two people. I knew this tour would be successful. Hopefully, you'll have the balls to come to Belgrade, Serbia, so I can see you perform in person. Well, the second you tell me I need balls to go where the fuck you're from, yeah, go fuck yourself. I'm not going there. Why do I need to have balls to go there? And don't even talk about the weather. It's not Siberia. It's Serbia. Because I'm going to go there and take a fucking farm tool to the side of my head? I don't need that shit. What do you got, vampires there? Consider it as I'm sure you'll have a blast here. I like how he scares the fuck out of me. He's like, hey, man, go to the water park. Also, I don't know when you're planning to do this tour, but I'd recommend sometime between September and November. Hopefully, you'll put some more specific information out on this plan. So, no, I was thinking like January or February. Why, is that a bad time? What happens in those months? Anyway, love your... Oh, those during January, everybody stays inside and they let the inmates run down the street. It's like running of bulls with murder. Anyways, love your shtick and wacky antics with the occasion random hijinks. Rock on, you crazy bastard. All right, just the way you're talking, I think I'll be fine if I go over there. All right, Obama's money. Hi, Bill. Oh, am I going to get the shit kicked out of me on this one? He signed a book deal, you unread douche. Oh, stop it. Stop it. I don't even want to hear this shit. I don't even want to hear this shit. I don't want to hear this, dude. He's going to go around and he's going to... Dude, he had $70 million worth of fucking tour dates. He also had that. You selectively unreading douchebag. Don't tell me he fucking... He had a fucking $900 million book deal. Obama, $65 million book deal. All right, wait a second. And now I'm going to fucking hit you back with my shit. Obama speaking dates... Money tour. Here we go. Come on, man. Big number. Michelle Obama tickets for 2018. Barack Obama, $400,000 speaking fees. Reveal what few... There we go. Obama secures 800 grand for two speaking... who do you think he's talking to, huh? You think he's going to a homeless shelter? The reason many of us have been critical of Barack Obama's outrageous $400,000 speaking fees is that it robs us of a fantasy that sooner or later the first black president was going to use his considerable powers in or out of office to help the economic ravages of the poor who are disproportionately black, blah, blah, blah. But you know, a white person probably wrote this. I want to know who he's talking to. Huh? Who the fuck has 400 grand to throw at this fucking guy? They're all... I don't know how to talk to you fucking assholes. So am I really supposed to sit here and I'm supposed to think that these fucking guys, like everybody with the blue tie, I just don't buy it. I don't fucking buy it. All right. Okay. $65 million book deal. Okay. After taxes, sir. After taxes and all the bullshit, that'll probably be about $30 million. And I guarantee you, he is going to be worth, when it's all said and done, about $200 million. Okay, and it's not going to be because he wrote a fucking book. All right, he's also going to go out and they do these speaking engagements to all these corporations that, and they'll pay them 400 fucking grand. And these are the same people that got him into office. And he went in there and did what the fuck they wanted. And this is just them washing their bribe money. I mean, honestly, dude, what changed when he was in office that everybody is so enamored with? Did we stop torturing people down in Guantanamo? Did we fucking end the war over there? Are we finally going like, hey, wait a minute. ISIS doesn't have a plane or a boat. Why are we acting like Germany got back together? No, it's the same fucking thing. It's the same goddamn shit. It's the same guy with a different colored tie. All right, I will fucking read up on this. Hi, Bill. Love your shows and you work it out, little of the world. Our most recent podcast, you talked about the house Obama just bought and wondered where the money came from. Here's a piece that explains it. It doesn't. It doesn't. $65 million, you don't turn around and you're only going to get $30 million of that. Okay, and then you're going to go out and buy an $80 million fucking house. You're going to pay the 30-year note on that, paying interest on that, because you just basically got $30 million after taxes. That makes no fucking sense. All right? And also, I would actually be willing to suggest that I am a fucking paranoid maniac, that the information that you're going to... they're not going to tell you... Can somebody explain to me, how did the Clintons become worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Let me guess. They both wrote a book for $100 million each, and they don't pay taxes? And that was it? And then other than that, they're like Jimmy Carter driving around the world fucking, you know... building houses for the poor. I never claimed, sir, to be 100% fucking read up on this shit. I'm not even 2% read up on it, but neither are you. Okay? This is not a piece that explains it. This is a piece that just shows this guy cashing the fuck in. $65 million is the gross. He's going to get about $30 million. That's it, because he's got to kick in for this never-ending war, too. All right? So now he's got $30 million. He owes $82 million. Like, what is the fucking payment on that a month? Now he's going to go around, and he's going to give all these fucking speeches, okay? And schools do not have the fucking, I would say Ivy League schools, some of these bigger fucking schools, maybe they have that. But generally speaking, they go around, and they talk to these fucking, these corporations. Who got him into fucking office? Hey, do what the fuck we want you to do. You know? Every fucking one of them. I don't know. I think the whole fucking thing is weird. It's all weird. It's all weird that he's a public servant and blah, 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 blah. And then the end of the rainbow, you're worth $200 million and you're living in the same neighborhood as all those corporate cunts who pour shit into the fucking water supply. Like, the fact that that doesn't bother you on any goddamn level, and you're going to just sit there, well, you got $65 million for a book. I mean, there you go. I'm satisfied with that. I don't think the political system is corrupt at all. I don't think it's a bad thing that now corporations can dump unlimited amount of funds into presidential candidates. I don't think that that influences their decisions on foreign policy whatsoever. I don't know. Hey, you know what, sir? Agree to fucking disagree. All right? Anyways, I haven't even read the rest of this. And despite the fact that I don't agree with you, I will say that there are assholes on both sides. However, I believe that there is a lot to be said about how one conducts themselves, which is why I side with Hillary over Trump. Yeah, I love you people who like it's how you conduct yourself. As long as you continue murdering innocent people, it's like it's not a problem. But they're so eloquent when they give a speech. Do you know why the president ages the way they do? It's because of the dead bodies. That's why. It's not the economy. It's not the sketches on SNL, which is what always cracks me up when you see, like, people in Hollywood talking about how they want to run for president. You're basically saying that you're so fucked in the head that you want to go to bed, put your head on the pillow going like, did I do the right thing? We thought they were the enemy. It turned out to be a family. There were children there. And you have to fucking go to bed. And then the next day, fucking smile and give some goddamn speech. It is the most fucked up. Maybe they deserve the money. I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying. I am. I always oversimplify. You know what, sir? I agree with you. You're probably right. You know what? There you go. That's how he got the house. He wrote a book, Hickory Dickory Dock. This chick was sucking my cock. Clock stuck to it. Fucking blah, blah, blah. Andrew Dice Clay, God bless you. All right, podcast topic. Hey, Bill, wondering if on an upcoming podcast you can talk about how your views may or may not have changed on being a stay-at-home mom now that you are a parent yourself. No, they haven't changed. They haven't changed. I think everybody exaggerates how difficult their fucking job is. All right? Listen, being a single parent is difficult, I would say. That would probably be unbelievably fucking difficult. However, if you're fucking married, you know what I mean? And you got one kid, it's not that hard. The first 3 months, yeah, you're hallucinating, you know? But you get somebody to help you out. A friend, a family member, something to help you out. See, stay. That whole fucking thing where people try to do it themselves is goddamn, it's fucking insane. It's fucking insane. That's not, people didn't do that back in the day. They used to say it takes a village to raise a child. And back in the day, you didn't fucking move to the other side of the goddamn forest. You just built a fucking log cabin right next to your parents. That was it. They came over and they helped you out. Fought off a grizzly bear. Okay. No, my views have not changed. Other than, I gotta be honest with you, when I watch my kid, I'm fucking psyched. I love it. I have a great goddamn time. We play games. We're screaming and yelling. We're throwing balls all over the living room. And, you know, I don't know what the problem is. You know, my buddy was bitching about something, talking about he had to do something difficult. And I said, dude, do you realize there's probably some guy from Cuba right now that, you know, made a boat out of a discarded desk and is using a fucking sport coat as a sail, trying to get into this fucking country, risking the fact that he's going to get caught, sent back, and God knows what the fuck happens to him. And now, what exactly is the problem with your day? It's what I would say, ma'am, is it's about perspective, which is what that bit was about. I'm not saying it's not a challenging job. I'm not saying it's not an important job. I just said it's not the most difficult job on the planet. I would say that people who fucking were trying, when the lava was coming down at their house and they didn't have lava insurance, I would say it's a more trying day than when your kid just would not stop crying, you know? You want to hear a kid not stop crying? Wait till that fucking lava's at the front door. Help, should I tell my boyfriend I'm a prostitute? Okay. Now, you and I know sometimes these emails get a little fucking not believable. Like, what am I supposed to do with this shit here? Is this actually serious? Help, exclamation point, should I tell my boyfriend I'm a prostitute? All right, what do I do here, people? Do I ignore this? Do I actually act like this is real? All right, let's wade into Dear Billy Ball Baggins. I'm a 25-year-old semi-single lady living in the Netherlands. Okay, I've got good qualifications, master's degree, am social. Well, sounds like it. Outgoing. Yeah, I'm not going to argue. And try to treat other people with kindness and respect. Oh, God bless you. You're the prostitute with the heart of gold. Anime. You really have a master's degree. I'd really like to build a special relationship in my life, and I'm currently dating a nice guy from Brazil. Oh, boy. But there's a catch. For the past 3 years, I've been working in the sex industry. I like my job, make good money, and always practice safe sex. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Get out of that business, sweetheart. I don't want to quit, as it would mean busting my ass to some corporate job working for the man. Yikes. You can't just be a stripper? You know? No offense to strippers, but Jesus Christ. You know, go out there, shake your ass a little bit, you know, hose yourself off in the green room and just walk away like it never happened. For me, it's not a big deal to balance my job and a loving relationship, as I don't find the work side of things emotionally intimate at all. However, my boyfriend seldom sees it the same way. My boyfriend's. I am sure if I should be honest with my new potential boyfriend about my profession. I'm unsure if I should be. Normally, I'm very honest and upfront with my boyfriends about my job, and normally it kills the relationship. Oh, I see. I'm starting to wonder if honesty is really the best policy, as the truth always seems to add extra pressure and the strain to the relationship, and it hurts me when I get attached to people and they finish with me. What do you think? I hope you and Nia had a nice time in Paris, and go fuck yourself. We had a great time. All right. Okay. If this is true, sweetheart, yeah, you know, if you want to find a loving relationship, I think you need to stop being a prostitute. Okay. You know, I understand, you know, nobody understands not wanting to end up in a cubicle more than me, but I mean, it's a fucking dangerous job. You know, it's a very dangerous job. There's a bunch of creeps out there. I know you practice safe sex, but, you know, there's always problems. It's just, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, something, I'm looking at this as a, you know, with that Puritan American fucking viewpoint. I don't know if you're freer over there, man. I don't know what the deal is, but let's say I could actually handle the fact, the physical aspects of the girl I was dating being a prostitute, which I couldn't. Let's just say I could. I would be so worried every time she went out that someone was going to beat her up or kill her. I mean, you're in the sex industry. It's a fucking horrible industry. You know, I would, I think, you know, the least I would be worried about is how I tell this fucking guy I'm in the sex industry. I would be more worried, how the fuck do I get out of the sex industry? Because what's going to happen is eventually you're going to be an old prostitute. All right. And, I don't know what you're investing your money in, Bitcoin or, you know, your own whorehouse. I have no idea what you're doing here, but like, you know, then all of a sudden there's this big gap in your resume where you weren't in a cubicle. Now you're trying to get a corporate job and you're like, you know, what did you do from 2010 to 2021? Oh, I had sex for money. Oh, okay. Well, all right. I don't think we have any more questions. I mean, you know, assuming this is all true, I would love it if you got out of that industry. Just get out of it. You know what I mean? There's easy money in my business too. You know, I could go fucking do it. I could whore myself out, you know. But you know what? You always leave a piece of yourself there back in that room. I don't know. You have a tremendous attitude. I mean, you make it sound fun. I love it, man. You know, I don't get emotionally attached to making good fucking money, you know. And this is when any woman group would be like, that's because she's so numb from the zappa de beba da boo. You know, they start throwing their thoughts into your fucking head. I don't know how you're wired. It might be fucking true. It might not be true. I don't have any. I don't have any. This is way above my pay grade. I have no idea. But yeah, you should fucking tell somebody that you're, you know, having sex for money. You know, he probably want to know that because it is dangerous. You know, there's STDs or all that shit out there. Yeah, I guess I would, you know, I would tell him, fuck it. You know, I guess if you're going to continue being a prostitute, your soulmate's going to be the person you don't have to lie to. And you can't accept me for who I am, you know. All right. I don't know what I got to do to get rid of this fucking cold. It just came on slow. Why am I? I don't know. This doctor wants to tell me if it comes on fast, it goes away fast. It comes on slow, it goes away slow. I guess that's what the fuck's going on here. But anyways, that is the podcast. Good luck to all four teams left in the World Cup. Good luck to that prostitute and that Brazilian guy. And God bless the United States of America. And congratulations to Obama for signing a $900 million book deal. That's how he got that house. That's how he's going to pay for it. All you need is 30 million bucks. We're at 82 fucking... If I got a $60 million fucking book deal, and all I was going to get was 30 million bucks out of it, and I was getting 400 grand a night, I still wouldn't go out and buy an $82 million house. I wouldn't fucking do it. An $82 million house is a fucking white elephant. No offense to the Obamas. All right? I mean, when you turn around to sell that thing, I mean, there's like 0.1% of people that can actually fucking afford it. You got to hope that they're in the goddamn market. I don't know. Do you think he'll fly drones around it? For old time's sake? Oh, that was a low blow. See, Bill, this is why people think you voted for Trump. I don't like making fun of Trump. It's too fucking easy. And paying attention to him is too fucking depressing. You know? Oh, by the way, I got to tell you something. That don't be a Brad thing on fucking Instagram, man. I'm like that. I can't get over that clip of that little shit yelling at that bouncer. The bouncer goes, get out of my face, you little shit or whatever. And the kid is so beside himself. He's, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you have any idea what the fuck my dad does? I cannot believe that a man said that to another man. Do you have any idea what the fuck my dad does? It's like, why? I'm not talking to your dad there, son. I'm talking to you. What the fuck do you do? Other than buy little shirts. But what I love, I've watched that video so many times. After he fucking throws that little shit, which is so satisfying to watch, when you listen to his friends, they're just like, oh, dude, you are fucked. You just fucked up, dude. And the kid gets up. I'm like, oh, what? Does he know some Taekwondo? What's going down? And he goes, you just fucked up, man. They all walked away, right? But they were so convinced that this bouncer was fucked. And to the point, I was sitting there like, I was feeling like unsatisfied. Like, dude, I want to know what the fuck your dad does. Do you have any idea what the fuck my dad does? I just love the way he says, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, he's like, are you seriously challenging me right now? Do you have any idea what the fuck my dad, what does he do? Does he torture people for the CIA? What the fuck does he do? Oh my God. Somebody's got to animate that. That bouncer sitting in the chair. You know, those torturers, they always have like the fucking tools out in front of you. And there's that little shit. I told you, man. I told you not to push me in my little polo shirt. All right, that's it. I apologize to Obama and all presidents. Evidently, they just do book deals and just make 400 grand a night giving speeches to, you know, banking conglomerates and that type of shit. No, they don't. They go down to homeless shelters and they all scrape together fucking nickels that they beg for that day. I have no fucking idea. And you know what? Neither does the guy who... I love how he looked up one fucking thing. That's why I love doing a podcast. As I get, hey, I'm not that dumb. There's people just as dumb as me. You know who would know? Jimmy Dore. I could have Jimmy Dore in this. I'm going to have fucking Jimmy Dore in this podcast. I'm going to save this. I'm going to save this fucking question. I'm going to read it to Jimmy Dore. All right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you have any idea what the fuck Jimmy Dore reads? Jimmy Dore is going to be my dad on this question so I can win, because I want to win. I don't want to be right. I just want to win. That's what it's about, right? All right. Have a great week, you fucking cunts. I'll check in on you on Thursday.